This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Though we have a clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, the clip of the day. By the way, we have the one and only Brock Wisney.
No, there's a few of me.
In the Aloe Fiber. There, dude, you are one of a million, my friend. Joining us in the Aloe Fiber studios, he's going to react to a lot of this stuff with me. Because we're going to talk about a place he spent a lot of time in, and that was the NCAA. And there's a lot going on in that. So who better to kind of talk and go back and forth with than a, I guess, now former collegiate athlete.
That feels pretty crazy.
It's crazy to say that. But did you watch the game? Did you watch the Spurs Thunder game last night?
Yes. Incredible.
Dude. I mean, it
incredible
was
incredible game.
The NBA desperately needed this game.
Yeah.
They need the series to be great.
Yeah.
The Spurs win it in double overtime. Victor Wembanyama.
Oh my gosh.
Is ridiculous, yeah. Brock.
7'5", 30-foot tight.
He plays like he's 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he plays like he's 6 foot tall.
He plays like he's 6 feet tall.
But he is.
Got the
10
wingspan
feet tall.
Of a 100 feet tall person. Everyone's terrified to go in the paint.
Oh my gosh.
41 points for him, 24 rebounds. He was asked by reporters after the game if kind of, you know, hearing the news that Shea wins MVP, seeing him come out and get announced as MVP before the game, he was asked if that motivated him. Here's the question, and here's Wimby's response.
If that was in your mind at all, knowing that Shea had got that award and you were in the top three for it, and, you know, did any part of tonight feel personal? Some of your facial expressions kind of look like you were really, really going for it.
Yeah, for sure. Everything you just said.
There it is.
Yeah.
Short and simple.
He's simple, man.
Just short and sweet.
You know, I think that something that a lot of people miss is like a guy that, first of all, has all those natural abilities, but his like mindset is pretty unreal as well. You saw him in the summer, you know, going to the monk training.
Is that in the future for Brock Wisney, by the way?
I think that'd be cool. Shave my head bald a little bit.
You didn't get a haircut, so you're on your way.
Shorter.
Yeah, shorter.
It's going in that direction.
I mean, the top, you still got the curls going up there, but you got rid of...
Maybe in the future.
The party in the back.
Yeah, I know. Maybe in the future you might see that out of me. But
I will say, are you going to bring the hair back? Are you going to bring it back?
It'll naturally get there. Yeah.
All right. So Wimby, you know, I'm a big Joker guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I have talked a lot about Joker. Well, Joker actually finished second in the MVP voting, and then it was Wimby. So he's feeling slighted in this. I love Nikola Jokic, but I can't help but think that The three MVPs were great. I think he got robbed for a few of those, at least. I wish he could have got them now, because I'm thinking this award for the next few years is going to go to Wimby.
That might have been his coming out game for the league, just letting everybody know, like, this is going to be here for a while. It's so wild. He's so competitive, you know, for someone that has all those natural gifts and has such an edge. And, like, that's something that people miss a lot in basketball, you know, someone that has that fire, that passion. And he has it, and I think, you know, someone with those gifts that can do the stuff that he does, it's pretty unstoppable. The only thing that could stop him is its injuries. That's the only
and
thing.
And you wonder, a guy built like that, if, you know, how long his career might be. Because when he falls, big tree fall hard, man.
Yeah, it does.
And that, you know.
He prepares, man.
He does.
So just if his body lets him down. But he does everything to prevent that, right? If you've seen the clips of him, you know, like barefoot, just crawling and stuff, his warm-up things. He does everything right, and he has all the gifts. It just if it doesn't fall his way, but if it does, it'll be different.
How frustrating is a guy like that?
I can't imagine. I've never played someone like that.
Who's the tallest guy you've ever gone against?
I think I played a 7'2" guy, UC Irvine.
That's pretty tall.
His name was like Bent Lucklin or something.
Okay.
He was pretty good. But You know, I think he couldn't really move super well laterally. Wasn't great vertically. Wemby has that stuff. Eight foot wingspan.
He plays like a point guard.
Yeah,
like he can handle the rock.
Yeah,
he can obviously shoots from Narnia. You know, to send this thing basically to double overtime.
Yeah. You have to be ultra crafty. It's so weird. Like Jokic is actually a good matchup for him.
I would have loved to see that.
Because of how crafty he is. Yeah. But it's hard. You have to completely change your game plan against somebody like that. It's wild.
And you could hear the frustration with Thunder, too, last night. Because they haven't lost in these playoffs yet. That's their first loss.
Yeah.
And they're like, I mean, he's 8 feet tall. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, you just kind of got to give credit because there's not much else. Just hit some extra shots on the outside. I mean, Caruso had 30 shooting threes.
Caruso, that is a feisty player.
Oh, my
man.
Gosh, yeah.
You hate him when he's against your team.
Yeah.
But, like, last night I'm watching. I'm kind of rooting for the Spurs, but really I'm just rooting for a good game.
I'm kind of rooting for the Spurs, too.
I kind of am. I'm tired.
You don't want to see the Thunder win again.
The flopping stuff. And last night was kind of... It felt like it was kind of, you know, not a lot of crazy flopping going on, even for the Thunder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Wemby, when you got that, like, length inside, you don't have to foul as much.
Yeah.
So you can be a lot more careful with, you know, some room for error there.
Man. And his, he has sticky fingers, too.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets his, it's not just that he's taller than everybody.
No.
They're all, like, hyenas, you know, trying to, you know, like jackals ripping at the ball from him. But he's just, he keeps, it's like sticking to his hands.
He's got everything, man. Big hands. He's got 8 foot wingspan. You know, it's hard. It's hard to imagine. It would be funny. It'd be funny to kind of stand next to him in person and kind of size up how that would look.
How tall are you? Because you seem like a giant here.
So I'm 6 foot eight barefoot. I'm 6 foot eight barefoot. And, you know, I think that if I stood next to that guy, you see the way. So there's a picture with Carter Bryant. I think he's 6 foot six.
Yeah,
and this dude's like at below his armpit. Like this, he's gigantic.
Like for us here, when you walk in, it's like, there's a college basketball player in the building right now.
He'd be like he is called an alien. That's how it would look.
He definitely looks the part, man.
Yeah.
how would you guard Wemby? If like today, the Thunder call you up and they're like, dude, we need Brock Wisney. What are you doing?
They do it right. I saw Caruso and Lou Dort is actually who they put on him, which is crazy.
Yep. Physically.
Physically. Yep. Get into his hip. You kind of got to push his hamstrings, push his knees a little bit. And you'd slowly force him out, I feel like. Just get him away from the rim. And then just live with, like, jump shots over you. That's what you got. Just physical, though.
Well, you
physical.
Saw that, too, like even with Joker, like last year. You see smaller guard. You see guards even.
Yeah.
Just almost get down to the point where their butt is on the ground.
Yeah.
And they're just driving into him. And Joker finally just falls on top of him.
Yeah.
And that's the only defense to counter that.
Yeah.
Is just you fall on him.
Yeah.
To make him not want to be there anymore.
Yeah, it's so weird. You got to push up into them. And NBA is weird. They allow some, like, really physical stuff, but then they, like, call some touchy-feely things. So it's kind of weird how they call it. They could definitely call some of those things, at least the college game from what I've seen, but you kind of got to let that play out because unless you're playing him physically, you're not going to be able to do much.
How does the – now, I believe last night was a great game, and that's how the game should be officiated.
Yeah.
But obviously there's been a lot of talk about the ramp-up of flopping in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing players get in, and they know how to draw fouls.
Yeah.
They're flailing their
arms.
It's annoying,
man. It's crazy.
So for you, as a Division I player, and I know Coach Smiley well, does that stuff come up? Like, seek the foul, you know, foul bait.
So that's actually, I would say, like, one of the, maybe the third most brought up thing is free throws, because he talks about, like, the most efficient shot in the game, and it's free throws, right? You're going to make most of them. You get to the line. And so the weird thing was this past year, we didn't get to the line well at all. I think we were last in the league. I think it comes down to the fact of physical people that, like, play the game the right way, fouls just don't come to them. So, like, I think I had one of the lowest foul rates in the conference. And it's so weird. I never get to the free throw line. I just kind of make shots. I like to play through contact, you know, get to good spots. And Quinn was kind of the same way.
Yeah.
So it's – people are just naturally good at it sometimes. Money Williams, really good at that. If you look back 2 years, Dylan Darling, some guys, that is just, like, almost you would say the best facet of their game. SGA, that's the best facet of his game is that flopping. So it's such a big piece of the game. And like you're saying, I would wish they would kind of crack down on the NBA.
Well, it's like I've never come on here and blamed Shea. I've never blamed coaches for coaching
it. I mean, he's playing the game. Like, if you want to score, right?
If the NBA is going to allow it to be called that way, then you're kind of foolish for not trying to. I mean, I've heard superstars come out and say, man, I might have to alter my game a little bit.
Yeah.
James Harden, it really became prevalent with him.
Yeah.
You know, just I'm either shooting a three or I'm going to get past that free throw line, and I'm just going to go up, and my arms are going to contort in so many different ways. They have no choice but to call a foul.
It's so weird, man. It's such a skill set. You know,
it actually is a skill set.
It is a real skill set. Jokic is really good at it.
Joker does it
around.
Too.
I think that Sengun, that's literally his whole game, is flopping around sometimes. Those guys don't really look to score anymore, which makes me wonder, like, obviously this is happening because they're great players, right? You have to guard them close so they can't do this. And I think that they turn being good just into that flopping, you know, which is – it's really interesting to me because I don't know exactly how it works because I don't play that way.
I've never seen you – know? I don't think I've ever really seen you flop.
I don't think I've ever flopped. I don't think I've ever fallen from a shot. Funny enough, I've never taken a charge in my life. I just – I like to play basketball in the dirty way, like macho. Like,
and you have lost a shoe before, though.
I've lost a shoe, but I kept playing. I kept playing without a shoe.
You kept playing through it, man. That was a dangerous game by you, slipping around there.
You know, I've sprained some ankles. I'm not worried about a shoe. But
that's what I respect your game so much. And you mentioned, like, Quinn Danker. I saw guys that were like, hey, there's the rim. I'm going to get there somehow, but I'm not – I'm going to go with the intent of scoring a basket.
Yeah, and Quinn does that the right way. It's so weird because – me and Quinn, obviously the highest usage, but neither of us really flop or look for fouls. So we just didn't get many fouls. And I think, you know, it was a great season. I think there were some games and some moments that could have gone better if we got to the free throw line more. And obviously the NBA, every single team, you know, they're superstars. They just kind of know how to do it.
They just figure it out. Yeah. And they watch it growing up and they're like, hey, if I get to the line, that's, you know, at minimum five more points.
Yeah.
Average goes up. Contract goes up. Wins go up, all those things.
Yeah.
So I don't blame the players and I don't blame the coaches.
Yeah, you don't blame them. I think that they should crack down on it. You don't want to see people get, you know, the next phase of basketball players come up and everybody's just flopping and looking for fouls. So I bet they do something, especially if
they have to.
Especially if the Thunder end up doing well this playoff and it looks prevalent there. There's going to be something they do. What they do, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I've Lord knows I've talked to
train the
about
refs
Adam
again
Silver.
Or something.
Well, I think Adam Silver needs to sit down and stop worrying about tanking so much and worry about. I think tanking's a problem, but it's not the problem.
No, it's not. I think that teams naturally get better over time. If they're worse, it's just part of it.
And the whole lottery thing is just so wild too. Brock, what's next for you though? I want to talk about that.
Yeah, so I think that in June or July coming up, I'll probably figure out what team I'm on. My agent's kind of just doing all that for me. So it is professional basketball.
Nice, man.
Yeah, you know, I think that I would have loved to have a shot at the NBA and just maybe some summer league stuff. I don't know if that's going to happen.
But that's still maybe?
You never know.
A small percentage
You never
chance
know. You know, I'm coming out of college and there's opportunities, so we'll see. But I think that overseas is probably how it's looking. I don't know where, and I'm kind of just going to be working out. It'll be fun. This summer I'm playing in two different leagues. So I'm playing with Jonah Radenbaugh. I'll be in the three league with
him
in Denver.
That's awesome.
And then with Bodie, actually, I'll be playing in the NoCo one. So I'll have two games a week kind of doing some pro-am stuff and playing with some old UNC guys. So it'll be fun to kind of, you know, touch down with those roots a little bit, maybe pick their brain a little bit, especially Jonah, man. He's doing well.
He's playing a lot, man.
I think he's on like the ninth best team in Europe, actually, in general. UCA and Murcia or something. And I've been looking into the European stuff and the Japanese stuff. So I'm kind of just going to keep my head down and, you know, I'm actually going to San Diego tomorrow to visit my girlfriend. I'm taking some time off and seeing her family there and kind of hanging out. But in general, just kind of laying low, just getting the work done. So
it'll be a nice break before you pick back up and figure out what the next step is.
Yeah, it'll be a good break. I'll be overseas or whatever season it is for 9 months. So whenever I hit that storm, it'll be nice to kind of take this time to, you know, just play basketball, just work out, hang out with my family, hang out with my girlfriend, all that stuff. And you know, I think that I'm excited kind of for the unknown, wherever that's going to be.
Well, you're getting out of college sports, and I'm not saying at the right time. Who knows? Because guys are making money. It's a crazy time. I want to pick your brain a little bit about some of the stuff. We got the Texas Tech story with Sorsby. We got the NIL stuff, the CSC. They're actually winning a lot of these cases, which is crazy. They're turning away NIL money. And a lot of that, most of that, is SEC and Big Ten dollars that are getting turned away. And now we're wondering if now the Big Ten and the SEC ultimately will break away at some point. So we'll talk a little bit about that with you, too, the college scene. And maybe a change coming to men's basketball as well. So we got Brock Wisney in studio here with us, former UNC Bear.
Former.
But I guess
weird.
Once a bear, always a bear.
I guess, yeah. Once a bear, always a bear.
There we go. 19 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break here. It's the whole show with the one and only great friend here, Brock Wisney. We'll be right back.
is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
That's wild, man. Brock, I noticed we've been hanging out a lot here. You didn't say anything about my new Rocky's Dirty 30 beer.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I got.
You got a flannel on, too.
I'm lumberjacking it up, man. That's how this thing goes.
Yeah.
I need. The Rockies need to get us 11 more wins, and then we can shave.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's a little too clean cut for me. They need to wait a little bit.
A little bit longer.
Last year,
I was into August.
Wow.
And it was brutal. It was down, you know, it was like,
yeah,
now you're starting,
yeah,
okay. It's actually starting to go away.
I don't
from
wish
the face.
That on you. I don't wish that on
well,
you.
Well, then the hair, I had to work it outside, I slick it back, man.
Embrace the look a little bit.
I looked like I belonged in the mountains.
Yeah.
Nothing against mountain folk, but that's
you know,
what you
people
look
called
like.
Me mountain man a little bit sometimes.
You had a little bit of the mountain man going.
Just when my hair was long. When my hair was long and my beard, I wasn't trimming it, you know.
You wore it well, man.
Yeah.
You know, you can pull it off too. Big dudes, you know, tall dudes can pull off pretty much anything. They can have that look.
Maybe I'll go bald, you know, no eyebrows and
maybe don't talk to me before you decide to do that one.
Yeah.
Because you got the curls, man.
I'll check in with you.
You gotta keep the curl. If I had the curls, I don't have that. I have a weird, goofy white guy fro that doesn't look fantastic.
No, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
great. It's hanging in there. What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about gambling
man,
in the NCAA?
Yeah, we could talk about that. Let's
do they sit you down and say, hey, don't gamble?
Yeah. We actually have a big conference every year with all the players that's required and for all the sports, and they sit us down and they bring a guy in normally, someone different speaker every year, keynote speaker, and we'll kind of touch on all that stuff. It was weird because last year, they were like, oh, we're thinking of this rule, or like this rule's going to get passed where you can bet on professional sports. And then like they say, oh, you can do this, and then about a month later they're like, oh, by the way, this didn't get passed. Don't bet on this or else you get in trouble.
Delete that app.
Yeah, but
is it no gambling on anything?
Nothing
like
NCAA related.
So you could theoretically gamble on the NFL if you wanted to?
I think that they did not pass that rule, and I think originally there were some of the organizations kind of worked with each other so you couldn't. But if you wanted to bet on like horse racing across the world, or you know, maybe someone playing tennis in their basement in Russia or something.
Like the table tennis. Yeah, you can look at that.
You can always
I have
do
no
that.
Idea if it's actually happening, but it's
the scripted matches.
Yeah, it's on there. So how serious like is that enforced? Are they checking in with you?
Yeah.
I mean,
they talk about that in all those meetings. So what they do is they have an entire team that kind of observes everything, and I think it'd be super hard to get by because if you hit like a big bet on like a small team, they're gonna know, right? So they talk about different examples. So there was a really interesting one. I think it had to do with like some Texas team that was right on the border, maybe UTEP, and the cartel got involved, right? And they like will entice some players, and they'll make you like bet on certain stuff or sell certain games if you get down in gambling, like maybe just playing poker in like someone's basement or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of different rings going on. I think you get caught super easily because they observe that. They see, oh, like why is this person consistently making money off this? You know, why is someone betting on a Big Sky basketball game and consistently winning? There might be something there. So they like flag stuff and then they follow up.
Do they talk to you at all about like third party gambling? For example, let's just set this up. You and I, we've done this show together for a while.
Yeah.
If I were to come to you, and not that you would do this and not that I would do this, but we're playing the game here, I go to you and say, hey, Brock, you guys are actually a 3.5-point dog because they don't believe Quinn Danker's coming back tonight.
Is he coming back?
You tell me, dude, Quinn's coming back.
Yeah.
I would hammer that all day. Do they talk to you about that kind of stuff? Because that would actually be against the rules.
Yeah, so that is against the rules. That's like insider information
that
they talk about. So if I gave that to you and then you bet, I would get in trouble and you'd get in trouble. Now, if I was on air and you did that, I think that would be legal. That'd be completely legal because that's out there for everyone else, right?
So, oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So if everybody knows, and like I posted on my story
that
like
Quinn's playing tonight.
Yeah,
but you're not using it. You're not saying it directly as gambling advice. You're just saying a fact that Quinn Danker's playing.
Yeah. So there's insider information, which isn't allowed. If I don't know you're betting, I don't think I'd get in trouble for that, you know, but they say not to answer that stuff. But if I made it public information, which I still probably wouldn't be allowed to do team-wise,
right?
That's legal for people to bet after that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, the crazy thing is, though, if you were to give me that information off the air and I gambled,
yeah,
they may never find that out. If I keep my buttons, you know, done, whatever that is, if I keep my mouth shut, and again, that. But my point is, that's just how easy it can happen, even if you're not directly doing it.
Yeah,
it's how easy this whole thing can happen, and it can turn into even more than that, where it's like, you gave me advice, great, here's $200 of my winnings too. Now you're playing the game.
Then I'm stuck,
and you can see how this thing can spiral, where it's really, it's easy to figure out if you're doing it, but when the other party comes in, that can be where it's really sticky.
Yeah, it'd be hard. And, you know, I think that's why probably guys get stuck in it, because they maybe make some money and they're like, oh, this is easy, I'll never get found out. Or maybe they thought they did it in a safe way, maybe through a distinct friend or someone. And but eventually, I feel like it always comes out, especially like we're talking about the Texas Tech. That guy probably just got hooked. You know, he probably made some money, got hooked, and then he just had to keep coming back for more. And I think that's kind of how a lot of these players fall in, you know, maybe quick money. And you'd think nowadays with NIL, guys would be less enticed to do that stuff. But still.
Well, you hear it in the pro level. I mean, guys that are making millions,
so weird,
and they're still gambling.
Yeah.
And guys in the NBA, that's how the season started, actually. Yeah. We're getting tons of dudes getting in trouble and still investigations going on to figure out how much a guy like Chauncey Billups might have been. Now, I know his was kind of a different thing, but there is a strong belief that he might have been involved in some of that.
Yeah, I think some people just spiral down the wrong route. You know, maybe they get bored, want some entertainment, or want to make the games more interesting, the same way someone sitting on their couch wants to watch the game a little bit more tense.
You mentioned Texas Tech. So Brendan Sorsby, who tried to get out in front of it and say, hey, I have a gambling problem. Well, the NCAA is like, okay, you gambled. And then they discovered that he did gamble on a team he played for.
Yeah.
So they're saying, you're out. You can't do that. That's against the rules. And now he's fighting to get back in.
Yeah.
And he's using this as, hey, this is a mental health disorder that I have. So you're turning away a collegiate athlete that has a mental health disorder. But if we're calling it that, and I think that waters down a lot of maybe more serious mental health disorders. We've discussed this on the show. But also, I've always heard, like, if you can't control yourself around drugs and alcohol and gambling, They tend to say remove yourself from those until you are at a point where you can go to a bar and not have a drink.
I mean, why would you go work at a bar if you're an alcoholic?
That's insane. So this whole thing, if I'm the NCAA, I'm saying, dude, we're doing you a favor. You're saying
we're
addicted
you
to
out
it.
Of this, man.
You're not going to be playing sports anymore.
Yeah. You'd think that's what they'd do, but then again, NCAA works in some interesting ways sometimes. You know,
oh, very
kind of all over the place.
What do you think of the CSC, the College Sports Commission? Did you ever have a run? That's fairly new, so you probably...
I never heard about that.
Yeah, you never had a run-in with that?
But, you know, when we talked about it earlier, you know, we were mentioning how weird that's going to be if some teams take that route. You know, I don't know if you want to talk on that a little bit, like just, I mean...
Well, the whole point, like, they get together and they need to create a little subcommittee in the NCAA that comes in and basically deems whether or not an NIL deal is legitimate. Yeah. Or are you just getting money to be Brock Wisney and play at UNC?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're supposed to come in and say, no, like our deal, we have to send our stuff. You know, I send you contracts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That goes through compliance and they have to, at that point,
approve
that was before
it,
the CSC, and they have to go, okay, this is legit. Same kind of thing, only now it's a... It's a subcommittee outside of the specific team.
Yeah.
So what we do, you're doing it. We're asking you to be here on time. You're always here 20 minutes early, by the way, which is amazing. To be here on time, do a radio show, give us insight to the UNC Bears that coaches allow you to give us.
Yeah.
Give us insight to the college game like you're doing right now. Record ads, do all that stuff. Give us your time. So we're not just paying you because you're here at UNC. Yeah, it worked out. You're here already, so we're working with you.
Yeah.
Yours would clear. 10 times out of 10, yours would clear.
Yeah.
The problem is now, It's, hey, we're going to give you $1 million from RevShare, but I've also got $2 million coming over here from blank donor that's going to be throwing $20 million at us. We're going to give you four more of that. And then, okay, great, he's got four, but maybe we never got our wires cut. He's not doing anything for that. He's just getting pay for play now.
Yeah.
And those deals are what the CSC is coming in saying, no, you can't just give him $4 million.
You know, I
had to do something for it.
I think it would be great if they started cracking down. One, because I think that the past few years, it's kind of been the Wild West, right? Guys are just getting paid. You know, they mentioned 2 years ago, our coach brought up, you know, not having to do stuff for the money that you're making, right? And these guys, I mean, especially at Power Fives, they haven't done any of that.
No.
Right? So, I mean, because I bet the boosters are like, oh, you don't have to do anything for us.
Or they just, sometimes they even just forget.
Yeah.
They're like, I just threw $20 million at them. I wish I had that money.
Yeah.
But they just don't even, I've actually ran into businesses where, I signed an NIL deal with this guy and, you know, we were supposed to meet at this place and do this, and then something came up, and then I don't know. And then 6 months goes by, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that again.
Yeah.
But that would be an example of an NIL deal that never actually got fulfilled.
Yeah. You know, I think that you'd love for them to stop tiptoeing on the regulations a little bit, right? So either say, you know, these schools, they can just pay these guys, you know, whatever. Maybe they put a cap on it, or you can pay these guys straight up to come here and play. Or maybe say, like, you really got to show. But it's kind of weird because people over here are doing it the wrong way and they're not getting called out. And then people over here are doing it the right way and going through all this work for what, you know, when everyone else is doing it a different way. So, especially in the NCAA, and I wasn't fully in that world. I think the Power Five is where a lot of that falls into
place. Oh, 100%. 75% of these deals that are getting turned away are actually in the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, those rules apply to us?
Yeah.
We're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
that'd
they're going to leave.
That'd be crazy, man. That'd be crazy.
I just think, Brock, like for me, in a perfect world, it's, hey, salary cap, here's what we have.
Yeah.
If you want to do an NIL deal, we can't do anything with you on that.
Yeah.
I can't give you money from the donor. If the donor wants to seek you out and you guys have a handshake agreement, you work it out amongst yourselves, but I'm not promising that.
Yeah.
Like that's how it needs to go. I don't know if that's ever going
to
happen.
You would love for it to look that way, but I mean, it's been like 4 years, I think, since NIL got introduced, and there really hasn't been any progress made. The only thing that's happened is it's gotten worse and worse, and more money, less regulations, more stuff just under the table. You know, it's weird.
Well, and the NCAA is trying to get it right with this CSC thing, which the SEC and the Big Ten signed off on because they control everything. I get that. But now that it's affecting them, they're kind of like, wait, who are you to tell these guys and the donors how to spend their money? If they want to give Billy $1 million, that's their business.
I know. And it'd be so weird, like you mentioned, if like teams just started doing their own thing, you know, going into a different league of their own. And
how would that work?
Like Europe is so weird, the way they have a bunch of academies and a bunch of people just bounce around and, you know, equal playing field. So especially in college, I think that there's going to be some change in some way. And I hope that they just implement the right rules, you know, that people just follow. You'd love to see it.
But, we'll see, man. Great, great picking your brain on this stuff, too, man. This is a lot of fun.
Dude, it's interesting.
It's the Wild Wild West. Some of it's kind of gross, but for a radio host, content.
Yeah.
You know, all the time.
We have stuff to talk about.
Every day.
They don't sign any deals so you can talk about
let's
it forever.
Just keep proposing all these new changes because that's just new topics that we get to poke holes through or we can approve here on the whole show. Right, Mike? We get to do that. We can approve ideas.
Absolutely. We have that much power.
We do.
Yeah. I mean, you voted on conference awards, pre-conference awards.
I get to do that. Yeah. Some of that stuff, which you got some of those awards this year.
Yeah, I got it.
What'd you get?
Second team.
I was glad to see that.
Yeah.
You guys, several Bears getting awards and on a phenomenal
season. We got represented well. You know, I think Quinn could have been player of the year, too, but I thought that, you know, Zach all defense and Quinn first team, it was a good year.
I thought Quinn, probably had a strong case for it.
Yeah, he did.
But you were my vote to win it all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are not my vote.
Who was yours, Mike?
He didn't get a vote.
Not allowed to vote.
Nobody would allow. He doesn't even get to vote on, like, what color of shirt he's going to wear.
He'd probably vote for a Isle of Man men's league player.
I think he would, actually.
I was looking up the aisle. I know nobody here listening
He brought it up to me. He's like, look at this guy.
I was looking up the league.
I go to the bathroom, I come back, and you guys are just, I don't even know what world I walked into.
Yeah, Isle of Man, some Ireland island.
It's between Ireland and England.
And that's where you want him to.
He's telling me to play there.
That's where he wants
you
to
play. I'd probably get negative $1,000 a month to play.
You actually lost money.
I'd pay my rent.
You might have to pay to play there.
Yeah.
Texter here says most of the deals that are being denied are MMR Learfield contracts. I don't know that for sure. I'm getting, you know, texts on that, but I don't know if that's for sure. But either way, they're not fulfilling what they're supposed to do with that money. You gotta tie that money to something somewhat productive that they're doing for that donor. You know, you can't just give them the money.
It'd be cool to see that. You know, it's funny to see. I liked all the commercials, the NIL commercials during March Madness and stuff like that. I think seeing people represent that stuff, and it'd be cool to go throughout a college town. Like we're talking about the SEC. Maybe you're going through like Lubbock, for example, or that's the Big 12. But and you're seeing like guys' faces on billboards or guys representing businesses. All, and it's not that hard.
It's not that hard to actually do put it worth what you're doing.
So one thing that we did, you know, we did some different ones, and with Bank of Colorado, we went in there and we kind of just shot a ton of content in one day.
Yeah.
You know, and it was cool that like we made a little commercial and, you know, a little signing day thing. And you could go into one of those places for, let's say, 2 hours if they're productive, and you shoot a ton of content for a business and you never really have to go in there again.
Yeah.
But they can use that throughout
the
entire year.
They're going to use it.
Right?
And it's just like anybody else that's going out doing an endorsement deal. Like Caitlin Clark, she probably shoots a couple of ads a year.
Yeah.
And she probably makes north of several millions of dollars to do that, but you're really only putting in, you know, maybe 16 hours of work or something. But that's how it works. And that's totally legit, totally legal, totally acceptable.
Yeah. So it's not that hard, you know, just maybe slap their face on an ad and, you know, keep going. But I think that they just try to always have stuff their way a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know? Instead of just, you know, just being like, okay, like you told us to do this, well, we'll do some stuff. It doesn't have to be crazy, but, you know, it's not as hard as they paint it out to be sometimes.
It's simple as just doing a few things with the donor or whoever's giving that money away.
Yeah.
40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, are you Rick rolling us, Mike?
Yes.
Don't play the other stupid song that he has that you love so much.
No, that was a one-time thing.
He came up with a new song.
Yeah.
Like, just this year, right?
That he sung?
Yeah.
Really?
What's his name?
He wrote and composed it.
What's his name? What's his name? The guy.
Rick Astley.
Rick Astley.
Oh, yeah.
He just has a new song out. It's nothing like that.
Oh.
He actually has a couple songs out.
Well, he's probably like 70.
It's only one song. Just one song that's out. That's it, Michael. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Brock, this has been fun, man. It's been fun all year.
Yeah, it's been
honestly
good.
Doing these with you, and we wanted to do kind of one final show, but you'll be back here at some point. We still got to get down to Big City Roadhouse.
Yeah. We will this summer.
Yeah, we got to get there. You know, maybe
I'll text you.
Bring a couple players.
Yeah, Zach will be in Greeley.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah,
be great to get Zach.
So Zach actually got engaged recently.
So he got engaged. Awesome for him.
Yeah.
Is he looking? What's he looking?
He's gonna do pro two.
Two and pro two.
Yeah.
How long do you want to play?
Yeah. I think that I would say how it looks is if I end up getting to a good league and I'm making money, it would be hard to stop. So if I make it to Japan or a top league in Europe, I would want to play as long as I can because that's a good job. You know, I think that'd be fun. I think that there's the thing of, you know, raising a family. I want to have a family. So if I'm not in one of those top leagues, probably like 4 to 5 years, if I don't make one of those top leagues and I'm making decent but not good enough. And if I'm going to play past 5 years in like raising a family somewhere there, I'm going to have to be making some good money.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Beyond that. How about the coaching side? Is that something you're interested in?
I like coaching. I know that ladder is tough to climb, as is everything, honestly, though. You know, good stuff takes time. So if I get into financial advising or starting a business or anything like that, it'll take time. So coaching, I like being able to, you know, mold players and lead players. I wanted to get Reed on here, actually, was who we were trying to get.
Yeah.
I think that he maybe helped me lean towards that because I think the aspect of, you know, forming a player into a good person, you know, being more of a character coach than specifically just focusing on basketball, being able to impact, you know, young kids' lives, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and the coaching staff at UNC, I mean, you great. Can tell, yeah. like, meeting guys like you, and then you meet the coaching staff, and you're like, oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're finding guys that are high-character guys a lot like they are, too. Yeah. Just doing the right things every day.
Yeah. So I think that that makes me want to, you know, consider coaching in my future. I think that'd be
You'd
awesome.
Be great at it.
I think that I love basketball as well. You know, I love watching it and, you know, thinking about the IQ side of stuff. So I could see it. I could see it in the future, but not in the near future.
Yeah, first things first, you still got some more hoops to play.
I got some more left.
Yeah, you got more left in the tank.
Until my ankles give out. Yeah, that'll probably be the first to go.
You go as long as you... Not, you know, most people, you know, they hit like mid-20s, late-20s, and it starts to fade.
Starts hurting.
So you got to take advantage of that while you can.
Yeah, I'll do whatever I can, you know. And you never know how it goes. Like, injuries happen, and life happens sometimes, so... I might be over there a year. I might be over there 10. How long? I have no idea. We'll see.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, my
thanks,
friend. Looking forward to it. And stay in touch with us, okay?
Oh, I will. Yeah, I'll maybe, you know, get on a show in the future. And
you could call us.
Check in, see how stuff's going.
You don't have to talk to Michael if you don't want to.
I want to.
Nah, you don't have to lie.
I'll do one of his nerd shows. I'll be so bored over there that I'll be like, Michael, let's get on a nerd
show. Is a ringing endorsement. I am so bored that I want to hang out with Michael. That is on a t-shirt somewhere.
There's more boring things I could be doing.
Baseball.
You could just sit in a room and stare at a wall, and that would be more exciting than some of the stuff.
Maybe if it was, you know, popcorn ceiling, it'd be.
Yeah. It might be a little more.
Count the popcorn. Yeah. Something like that.
What did we learn with Brock Wisney coming up next?
Greeley Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, quickly here, Brock. What did you learn today?
What did I learn? I learned a ton, man. I learned about all the NIL crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
I think
we're trying.
That's something.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't
it?
Yeah. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that Brock could learn what Finnish metal is. I played some for you in the break. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
It was fun.
Brady didn't like it.
No, anything Michael brings to the table usually.
Yeah.
Look, piano and metal do go together.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us. Brock, great job, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
You're one of my favorites, and it's been such an honor to do this show with you this year.
I've had so much fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah. I've actually looked forward to all these shows.
You brought it every day. So stay in touch, my friend.
Yeah, will do. I'll give you a call.
That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.